are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Well, I am a product of the 90s. I love this song, Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds, originally written by Pete Seeger in 1959, adapted and made popular by the Byrds in 1965. It's got those classic opening chords, a three-part harmony and moving, catchy lyrics that make you want to sing along, especially if you already know the words. The lyrics, of course, are our scripture reading for today, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. But if we keep listening, we realize this is sort of like when you grow up and realize that a lot of catchy, well-known children's songs and rhymes are actually quite dark, even tragic. Ring Around the Rosie, many folklore scholars attribute to origins of the plague in Europe. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. And the song, Oh My Darling Clementine, ends on, you were lost and gone forever, dreadful sorrow, Clementine. For the kiddos watching right now, it's all right, keep singing. These songs are catchy and well known for a reason, perhaps exactly because they speak not just to the delights of love and connection and laughter, but also to the tragedies, albeit in a sing-songy way. After all, the German playwright Bertolt Brecht wrote, in the dark times will there also be singing? Yes, he says, there will also be singing about the dark times. In the Byrds, Turn, 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 that we heard at the beginning of this sermon, here too we have the whirling joys and tragedies of life in a three-part folk rock harmony. But Ecclesiastes 3, the part we know well, is just the more familiar part. The start of this strange and beautiful text is not nearly as catchy. The book of Ecclesiastes is organized with the Psalms and Proverbs and others as wisdom literature in the Hebrew Bible. But contrary to the psalmist's often hopeful outlook, the author of Ecclesiastes does not start out too optimistic, is not having a great time, is not particularly enthused about the current state of things. Sound familiar? The first lines of the text, start, all is hevel, which translated from the Hebrew into English is something like all is vanity, all is dust. Literally, and maybe the best translation is all is vapor, dissipating into thin air. The author, through saying all is hevel, all is air, asks, what does it all mean? Does it matter? Does anything last? Seemingly, sort of in the whirlwind of the first two chapters, the author of this text sort of wrestles with saying, you know, all things of daily living, all philosophies, ideas, passions, our achievements, when measured against the absoluteness of finality, of death, of hardship, all is hevel, vanity, smoke, chasing after the wind. The author is disillusioned, exhausted, disdained by even the air they breathe. Sound familiar? And that's just Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. But we love chapter 3. Our scripture reading for today, it's about remembering that there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And there is an order to all things, good and bad. I've read this scripture a lot. I love it. And not just because I can sing along to it with the birds. It is lovely and honest and invites us to consider who we are, the rhythms of our lives. But reading one particular line this time, this year, and this season of cold days and leaf-scattered streets, of upcoming holidays, I can't help but be a little stopped in my tracks. Our scripture tells us that there is a season, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Sound familiar? It's too familiar, for me at least, and probably many of you. I hear this line so differently now. This season, I've never related to that line that there is a time to refrain from embracing. Now I do. We are in a time to refrain from embracing. This pandemic, and honestly, our nation and our state's struggle and inefficient effort to get organized policy and protection in place, especially for the people who need it most, all of that has landed us in a season where we are to refrain from embracing. We've canceled plans and trips and events. We've got to stand far apart from each other in the cold outside in order to just be near each other. We watch people approach each other and say, oh, I wish I could hug you, or let me give you an air hug, or hesitantly draw back a handshake that feels like muscle memory to extend. Parents are teaching their young children new ways of greeting, of loving, of extending excitement and care that isn't with an embrace. Grandparents wave from their windows. Holidays will look so different. Thanksgiving is this week, and we're not gathered around a big table. We're not volunteering in the same big group. We're not running turkey trots or hosting neighbors or strangers. We don't get to be those neighbors or strangers welcomed to someone else's big table. We're in a season where we have to refrain from embracing. And it's heartbreaking. And for everyone who is doing the right thing, the safe thing, thank you. And we all know it is heartbreaking. So what do we do? Do we say all is hevel, all is vapor, smoke, dust in the wind? The author of Ecclesiastes doesn't stay in that place of despair, and we don't have to either. There is a rhythm. God does not leave our side in these seasons. And if we have moments, maybe whole days, maybe whole weeks, where we want to say that all is breath, is vapor, disappearing into thin air, that's all right. It feels really true. And there is another kind of breath that shows up in our sacred text. Thanks be to God. And it's not hevel, it's not vapor disappearing into thin air. It's not the air we currently fear. It is the breath of life. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, sort of unfolds this reunion of sorts. Jesus is reunited with his disciples after his resurrection from his own dark days. And in this reunion, scripture tells us that Jesus breathes on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The story we tell about God and about ourselves is a story of breath and energy, new life, resurrection, reunion, of a God who takes on our heartache by taking form in a human body, a vulnerable body. And that God made flesh and bone and lungs, breathes and laughs and embraces. There is a time for every matter under heaven. Not yet, but there will be reunions. There will be embracing. There will be breath that we don't have to be afraid of. And in the meantime, as Brecht may have said best, in the dark times, will there be singing? Yes, of course, there will be singing. There will be singing about the dark times. So we sing nursery rhymes and 60s harmonies and Christmas songs in November. And we take deep breaths and remember that seasons are seasons because they turn, turn, turn. Keep the faith that if we take this season seriously, it too might turn. Right now is a time to refrain from embracing. It might feel like a very dark time. But that does not mean that the breath of life, the Holy Spirit poured out, cannot reach us and even embrace us. May it be so each day, may it be so this Thanksgiving, this holiday season. Amen.